We were all fairly sure that we wouldn't like what the other ones were feeling. I got a glimpse, a memory of Nathaniel on top of me, inside me, and then Damien's face over his shoulder. The vampire's eyes had been full of green fire, his own power, not Nathaniel's.
"I thought you were enjoying yourself," Nathaniel said at last.
The anger was gone, and now so was the contented happiness he'd woken up with. Fuck. Damien took a deep breath and let it out very slowly.
"I like giving, anal, and I haven't been with many women who enjoy it."
"What are you saying?" I asked.
"If you were both women, I'd have had a very good time. My only objection is that Nathaniel is male and I don't like men, but I like someone going down on me, and I enjoy doing anal to someone else. We didn't do anything that I couldn't have done with two women, so why should I be freaking out about it?"
"I don't know," Nathaniel said.
"You have some of the same issues with men that I had with other women," I said.
"But you've got three, or is it four female lovers now?" Damien asked.
"It was four before I decided Jade had more issues than I could deal with in bed with another woman. So three."
How are you okay with it now?"
"I was bound metaphysically to Jade without meaning to be, and you're always attracted to your animals to call. If she and I had matched up better in the bedroom, she might have been my only ever girlfriend, but she likes almost the opposite of what I enjoy for sex. But it finally made me realize what a good sport all the men have been with the other men. Nathaniel is the only truly bisexual boyfriend I have. Even Jean-Claude is more into women than men."
"Most people wouldn't think that about him,"
Damien said. "I'm in his head. I know what he's attracted to most. He likes men, don't get me wrong, but not to the degree he's demonstrated to keep me happy. It just seemed fair to try to bring in women who would be more into all my lovers and not just me."
"You have that with Dev, too,"
Damien said. Nathaniel grinned.
"He's as bi as I am."
"But a lot more vanilla," I said.
"Rocky road, maybe."
I nodded. "I'll give you that."
"It's like I'm horrified by what we did, but not. It's almost as if I think I should be upset, but I'm not as upset as I... Why aren't I more upset?"
"I think Nathaniel was driving our little threesome and he has no conflicts about what happened."
"He's shared that with us?"
Damien asked.
"Maybe."
"I remember both your eyes glowing."
"I remember your eyes like green fire."
"I wanted to be desired, the way that you and Nathaniel want each other. I remember thinking that."
"I heard you think it, and I gave you what you were wishing for,"
Nathaniel said. "Our flavor of Jean-Claude's bloodline gives a person their heart's desire," I said.
"I wanted to be desired, the way the two of you are about each other. So the two of you desired me together."
"Something like that," I said.
"Yes," Nathaniel said.
"Now what?"
Damien asked.
"If you aren't mad at me, I'd really like a hug," Nathaniel said.
Damien smiled.
"I'm not mad. Part of me thinks I should be, but most of me is just happy for anyone to want me. I think that was the hardest part of being gone from She Who Made Me. She was a sadistic bitch and she tortured me, but she wanted me the way a woman wants a man. She made me feel desired more than anyone ever had before in a sick, twisted, and totally serial killer way. But she told me I was her favorite toy, and I believed her. I think she only let me go to Jean-Claude because she was finally growing bored with me. I think she was worried she would finally destroy me, and part of her didn't want to do that."
"Are you saying she let Jean-Claude bargain you away from her because she cared for you and was worried she'd finally hurt you permanently?" I asked.
"Yes,"
he said, and it was almost a whisper.
"I was so glad to be free of her, but I've never had anyone desire me so much. That sounds so sick, doesn't it?"
"It sounds a little like Stockholm Syndrome," I said.
"I understand," Nathaniel said. "When I was on the streets and selling myself, I thought being desired was the same thing as love. I know that's not true now, But if someone doesn't desire me, then I don't feel loved.
Damien nodded.
Yes, yes.
Cardinal loved me, but after a few months she didn't desire me in bed anymore. Or if she did, it was full of questions about who I was fantasizing about. Was I thinking about that one customer I'd danced with, or the one I'd taken blood from? It felt like she didn't want me so much as she didn't want anyone else to have me. But even her level of obsession with me wasn't even close to the obsession of she who made me when she was with me.
Everyone wants to be wanted, Nathaniel said.
Just not always in the same way, I said.
I just want to be desired, without being tortured at the same time.
His hand was still clutching the towel around his waist, but it had slid down one side to expose more of his hip than he probably wanted.
Would it help for me to say that part of me wishes you'd drop the towel?
You want to see me naked?
He said, smiling and trying to make a joke of it.
Yes, I said. Yes, Nathaniel echoed.
Damien looked from one to the other of us. You really do need to start being more specific about which of us you're talking to, I said.
Damien laughed. I guess I do. I'm not sure how I feel about all this, but with everything I've just remembered.
What the hell?
He let the towel fall to the floor and stood there pale and perfect, with the only splash of color against the pure white of his skin being the searing crimson of his hair and the grass green of his eyes. He lowered his gaze as if he couldn't look at us while he stood there nude.
God, you're beautiful, I said.
He looked up then and smiled.
You've never told me that before.
If I haven't, then I'm a fool.
Damien looked at the other man in the room and said,
What do you have to say for yourself, Nathaniel?
He gave a nervous laugh and said,
I think what I want to say wouldn't make you happy with me, and this is going way better than I thought it would, so let me admire the view and not say much.
Say what you're thinking.
Nathaniel shook his head.
No.
Please.
He sighed and glanced at me.
Is this a trap? Like a girl trap, but a guy version?
I don't know. He looked back at Damien.
Okay, but if this gets me in trouble, I won't be this honest again.
I understand,
Damien said. Nathaniel sighed and said,
I want to offer you the other side of my neck, so we can go down on you again until you tell us to stop or you'll come, and you don't want to go that way. You want to fuck us.
I did say that, didn't I?
Nathaniel nodded.
You'd just finished licking my dick, both of you. One of you on either side like it was a popsicle you were sharing.
His eyes fluttered shut, and he shivered hard enough for certain parts of his anatomy to shake and distract the hell out of both of us.
Wow, I said.
I don't know what's changed, but damn.
What she said,
Nathaniel said. Damien smiled.
I don't know what's changed either. But I like that you're looking at me like I'm one of the best things you've ever seen. I've seen you look at each other and Micah that way, but never me.
He started walking toward us, all nude and tempting. I hate to ruin the mood, God knows I do. But I have to get ready for a plane ride to Ireland. Edward needs my help. The happiness was suddenly gone from Damien's face. He was as unreadable and distant as if he'd been turned into a marble statue. White and perfect, but not very alive.
What's happened now?
Nathaniel sighed.
I know you have to tell him, but I'm allowed to be disappointed.
Hell, I'm disappointed, but I need to get over there ASAP.
Tell me,
Damien said. Put your towel back on and I'll be able to concentrate enough to tell you, I said. That made him smile again.
I like that I can distract you.
Towel back on. So we can talk about vampires in Dublin. He went back for his towel and bent down to pick it up. Nathaniel and I both turned our heads as he moved, so our view was as good as possible. When we caught each other doing it, we giggled like we were 13 and had been caught looking at nude photos online.
What's so funny?
Damien asked.
Just admiring the view, I said. What she said,
Nathaniel said again. Damien smiled.
I love that you both want me, and I think that means that whatever Nathaniel did to us all is still working. Even with the thought that my old mistress is doing awful things back in Ireland, doesn't change that I'm happy you both want me.
He frowned.
If you're happy, you're supposed to smile, I said.
Does it make any sense to say that I'm not sure I'm supposed to be happy about this?
Oh yeah, I totally get that, I said.
Then can you explain it to me?
I laughed. Sorry, Damien, but it doesn't make sense to me when I do it either. If something makes you happy, you should just enjoy it and embrace it. But I've got a whole list of things that make me happy, and I fought like hell not to enjoy them, not to want them, not to do them, because they didn't match who I thought I was, or who I thought I should be.
Are you saying, I think, I shouldn't enjoy the two of you looking at me like that, but I do, so I'm trying to make myself miserable about it, even though it actually makes me happy?
That is exactly what I'm saying.
Fuck that. Just tell me what she's done, Anita. That should be awful enough to help us appreciate whatever happiness we can find.
I couldn't argue with him. I didn't even want to. We sat down on the edge of the bed because there weren't enough chairs, and I told him what was happening in Dublin. He was right. It was awful, but it didn't make us want to enjoy the happiness we'd just found together. It just made us sad. And then I asked him to come to Ireland with us, and that made him scared. Nathaniel didn't want him to go either. I suggested that Pierrette and Pierrot could act as our guides to the local vampires, and Damien liked that even less. He hated them both for having watched him and other vampires being tortured over the centuries, but never lifting a hand to help any of them. He hated them enough to be willing to go back to Ireland and help me solve the mystery. They say love is a powerful motivator, and it is. But sometimes hatred gets the job done, too. Love or hate, I'd take the help.
Chapter 22 Damien put his towel back on so Nathaniel and I could focus. I called Jean-Claude to ask if I could use his private jet to fly to Ireland or if we'd have to find a commercial flight. Micah and Raphael were going to be at least a few more days on the West Coast, so yes, the jet was free to take us to Ireland. I did a group text to Bobby Lee, Claudia, and Fredo about a need for guards who could work with the police in Ireland, which was a polite way of saying, avoid anyone with a criminal background. We had a few who had started life as muscle for gangsters or had juvenile records with gangs. I didn't want that to make things in Ireland more complicated. We needed simpler, not harder. What I didn't realize was that Harder was still in the bedroom with me, and I didn't mean that in any fun, literal way.
I should go with you, Nathaniel said.
Damien smiled.
I'd like that.
I looked from one to the other of them as they sat beside me on the bed and said, no. They both looked at me and said in unison, why not? Since I was sitting in the middle, it was like stereo. There's no reason for Nathaniel to go with us, I said.
I'm part of your triumvirate, he said.
Which doesn't work well enough to gain us anything on this trip, I said.
Nathaniel made it work yesterday,
Damien said.
And you're okay with the way he made it work? I asked.
Anita, are you trying to make Damien upset with me?
I looked at Nathaniel and wanted to say no, but I tried for honest instead.
Not in the front of my head.
Nathaniel gave me the look the comment deserved.
I'm sorry, but I really don't want you to come to Ireland with us.
Why not?
It's a murder investigation, for one thing, and that's not the part of my life that you help with.
I helped in Colorado, he said.
You did, but the initial trip was to see Micah's family. It didn't turn into a police case until after we got there.
Funny how many of your out-of-town trips turn into cases, Damien said.
It made me look at him. What do I say, that it's not my fault?
Just an observation, he said,
putting his hands out in a show of innocence.
I helped you find some of the people that the vampires kidnapped, Nathaniel said.
You changed into your leopard form and tracked them for me, and it was helpful. But Micah's family was well known in the area. I'm not sure we'll have that kind of connection in Ireland, so you shapeshifting will probably not be a great idea there.
You're concentrating on the details, and ignoring the fact that I have helped, which is more than Damien has done.
You've had more opportunities because you live and travel with her,
Damien said, smoothing back a strand of still wet hair.
That's true, Nathaniel said.
I keep waiting for you to argue, but you don't if it's true.
Why should I argue if it's true?
Cardinal argued about everything, almost.
We're not her, Nathaniel said.
I didn't like the way he said it. As if we were taking the place in Damien's life that Cardinal had. I didn't have room in my life for another romantic triangle. Wisely, I kept my mouth shut. He'd just broken up with Cardinal yesterday and had his first sex with both of us since we formed our triad by accident years ago. I'd had enough therapy to know not to push, especially since I wanted him to travel with me to the place he probably feared most on the planet. Then I thought about being trapped in Ireland with Damien, freshly broken up from Cardinal, without Nathaniel to help me balance things. Crap.
You know how people in romances say, but no one is me, or no one is you?
Damien asked.
Yeah,
Nathaniel said.
That can be a positive and a negative. No one will ever be the good things that Cardinal was to me. But the bad things were pretty bad, and I never want those again.
I hear that, I said.
Me too,
Nathaniel said. I patted Damien on the back, and Nathaniel reached around me and patted his leg. We all had our bad relationships. Nathaniel sat back on his side of the bed and said,
You're going in as a consultant, not a marshal, and they want Damien to come and help them. Just tell them he wouldn't come without me.
And how do I do that without explaining that I'm a sort of living vampire, and he's my vampire servant, and you're my animal to call?
The police in Ireland have less experience with vampires than the ones here,
Damien said.
It won't occur to them to ask those kinds of questions, Anita.
Nathaniel said,
If they ask, just tell them that I'm Damien's animal to call.
Damien's not a master vampire.
The police won't know that.
I can't do my job if I'm worried about your safety.
But it's okay to endanger me?
Damien asked.
I didn't mean it like that.
I know you're not in love with me, Anita. But seriously, if it's too dangerous for Nathaniel to go, then why isn't it too dangerous for me to go?
The first answer that came to mind wasn't something to say out loud, because it was basically that I needed Damien to help us with the vampires in Ireland. I didn't need Nathaniel. I was willing to endanger Damien to help save lives and solve the case. Nathaniel didn't need to come to help solve the case, or that was how I saw it, so any risk to him had no payoff. Police work was often about risk assessment and gain versus loss. Probably Milady was now scrambling to shore up her own power base, so she wouldn't be a threat to any of us, and I wouldn't be taking Damien with me when we finally hunted the rogues, so he wasn't going to be in the line of fire either way. If I'd thought otherwise, I wouldn't have taken him. So why was it different adding Nathaniel? The only truthful answer was that I valued him over Damien, and that was something better not shared. If I really thought you would be in serious danger, I wouldn't take you either, Damien. But you have information about the local vampires that might help us figure out what is happening. You could help us save lives, and that's worth a little risk for both of us. Nathaniel hasn't even been to Ireland, so he can't help us. There's no cost-benefit to him possibly risking himself by coming with us to Ireland.
I'm coming with you, Anita,
Nathaniel said. No.
I'm not asking your permission, Anita.
Excuse me?
I'm not asking permission. I'm telling you I'm coming.
It's my case. If I say no, then it's no.
I was able to take control of the power between us and make it work, which is something that neither one of you has managed to do. Don't you think that it might be useful to have a working triumvirate of power in Ireland when you're up against rogue vampires?
I'm already part of a working triumvirate.
Richard's doubts cripple Jean-Claude and you too.
Jean-Claude and I work just fine, and it's helped make Richard Ulfric here in St. Louis.
I'm not sure it's been your trio, so much as the fact that you ended up being so fucking powerful, and that fed into Jean-Claude and Richard. I think if you'd just been a normal animator and not a true necromancer, or if you hadn't gotten contaminated with one of the rarest types of lycanthropy on the planet, that having your first triumvirate crippled could have gotten all three of you killed by some ambitious master vampire years ago.
I stared at Nathaniel.
It was like he was somebody else suddenly. Someone more serious and more... Was it wiser? I didn't want it to be true, because I didn't like what he'd said. But he was right in one thing. Richard's reluctance to fully be with Jean-Claude and me had damaged the power the three of us could have had. But lucky for Jean-Claude, I had become a metaphysical miracle.
I think he's right.
I glared at Damien. Don't help.
I thought you wanted me to help by going back to the one country I most want to avoid. She let me go once, Anita. But part of me worries that if I get this close to her again physically, she'll find enough power to steal me from you forever.
You're my vampire servant and a triumvirate with Nathaniel and me. Your metaphysical dance card is all filled up.
She won't know that.
She will if she tries to break you free of me.
She almost killed me once from a distance, remember?
I did remember. Nathaniel said,
"We remember."
I always wondered why she didn't try to take you again.
Maybe this is why, I said.
What do you mean?
Maybe something about the mother of all darkness waking up and then getting killed damaged she who made use power.
If she's allowing lesser vampires to invade Dublin, then she's lost power. She would never have allowed that many new vampires to just happen that close to her.
The Harlequin think that the magic that kept her or any vampire from creating too many vampires in Ireland is fading.
What do you mean, the magic that kept the vampires from being created? She who made me kept our numbers low to help us hide.
According to the Harlequin, the fey magic of Ireland itself makes the land so alive that the dead don't rise easily.
Are you saying that she who made me didn't keep our numbers low because she wanted to, but because she had no choice?
If Pierrette and Pierrot are accurate, yeah.
If that is true, then she lied so we wouldn't realize her power had limits.
What did that gain her? I asked.
She's controlling us all through fear of her power. If we'd known that power had limits, we might have pushed back more. Hell, Anita, she had some pretty powerful people under her power. If they had known the land itself was fighting back, it might have made them fight harder to be free. Her animal to call is Seal, so she can call the Rowan or Selkies.
I thought they were considered a type of fairy creature, not a shapeshifter, I said.
I know that's what folklore says, but from my experience, they reacted to her the same way that the wolves react to Jean-Claude, or the tigers interact with you. She can call real seals to do her bidding, and their half-human counterparts, the same way that I've seen other master vampires call their natural animals and their preternatural ones.
Nathaniel said,
"Maybe folklore thinks they're fairy creatures because they didn't know what else to call them?"
"Maybe," I said.
Knowing the land itself was fighting her might have been enough to get the Selkies to fight harder for their freedom. The rest of us were created by her, part of her bloodline. But the Selkies are born free folk. Only her magic or the theft of their seal skin could bind them to someone on land as a slave.
Like the stories of the seal maidens where fishermen stole their skins and forced them to be their wives, I said.
Yes.
Some of those legends are supposed to be romantic stories, I said.
There's nothing romantic about a man stealing something of yours and then blackmailing you into his bed or forcing you to marry him, Anita.
When you say it like that, no, I said.
Remember that the romantic versions of these stories were told in centuries when women didn't always have a lot of freedom to choose a husband. Ancient Ireland had some of the best laws for women when it came to marriage, but overall marriage was less about romance and more about land, wealth, safety, and procreation. I mean inheritance, and the safety of land, and even countries. The ideal that marriage is about romance and love is such a new idea.
Curse those French troubadours, I said. He smiled.
The British troubadours helped spread the new ideas too.
I guess when singing and poetry was your major entertainment, that was the way new ideas traveled.
A good singing voice, someone who could play an instrument or recite poetry and tell a good story. They were so important that some rulers would compete to have the great bards under their roofs. A good jester wasn't just to amuse the king, but to help the rest of the court while away the formal feasts. Traveling theatrical troupes were welcome in all the major cities of Europe, and the small ones, though actors were usually paid better in larger cities.
You were a young Viking before you became a vampire. How do you know all that?
She brought over an actor and a few of his troupe to entertain us. She pretended at the time that she thought making them all vampires would endanger our hiding places. But now I know that she couldn't raise them all. She wasn't strong enough. Gods, just saying that is frightening and thrilling at the same time.
Why frightening and thrilling? Nathaniel asked.
Because to question her meant punishment. I left Ireland believing that she was all-powerful. To know that she's not is exciting because that means that maybe I could rescue the ones I left behind.
I didn't know you left anyone behind, I said.
Not in the way you mean, probably. But you spend centuries with anyone and you become something to each other.
Friends? Nathaniel asked.
True friendship was not encouraged, and in fact any relationship that didn't revolve around her was actively discouraged.
How actively? I asked.
Not as actively as a lover that you might prefer to her. I mean, she wouldn't kill someone that you were just friendly with, but actively enough that she made certain you'd remember the lesson.
So if not a lover or a friend, who did you leave behind? I asked.
You can't actually keep people from being friends, Anita. There are people that I would rescue from her slavery if I could without risking falling back into it myself. I hate myself for saying it that way, but it's the truth. One of the things I had to understand about myself was that I wasn't that brave. In battle, sure, that's easy, but everyday torture and torment? I'm not that kind of brave.
Everyone breaks, Damien, I said.
He looked at me. No, Anita. Not everyone.
Edward told me that everyone breaks eventually.
Maybe the people you're thinking of just haven't hit their eventually yet?
Damien looked down at his hands where he was still holding the towel across his lap.
How many centuries does someone have to stand up to torment before you call them unbreakable?
I don't know what to say to that, Damien.
How many centuries are we talking about?
Nathaniel asked. 800 years.
That's a very long time, Nathaniel said, raising his eyebrows to go with the comment.
800 years, okay. How about we call him hard to break, I said.
Damien looked at me.
You believe that everyone has their eventually, don't you?
I do.
But you still want me to go back to Ireland and give her another chance at me?
No, I want you to go back to Ireland and help us stop a bunch of murdering vampires from killing people. Police and our own guards will be with you.
Will I have to talk to her?
I doubt it, but even if you do, you'll be guarded by our people and the police.
And Anita and I will both be there, Nathaniel said.
I shook my head.
No.
You just said it yourself. We'll have our own guards and the police. I'm not going out hunting vampires with you. I'll just be there to make sure Damien has all the power our triad can give him.
We're not taking him back to challenge his old mistress to a duel, Nathaniel.
I know that, but we have more power together than apart.
More power would be good, Damien said.
Jean-Claude does just fine without Richard at our side all the time, I said.
Let's ask him, Nathaniel said.
And if he says what you want him to say, then what?
Then we all go to Ireland.
And if I keep saying no?
You wouldn't tell Micah no or Jean-Claude.
That's different.
How?
It just is. And yes, I heard that it sounded lame.
Yes, neither of them would help me have more power because they aren't part of my triumvirate, Damien said.
You both keep saying that we raised more power than ever before with Nathaniel leading the way, but how do we know we raised any power? All we really know for certain is that the three of us had sex without you and me angsting about it and getting in each other's way. The two of us don't even remember much of it.
The two men looked around me at each other.
I feel more energized, Nathaniel said.
So do I. But maybe that's just the rush after sex, Damien said.
I can't afford to have Nathaniel roll me while I'm working the case. I mean, how would the Irish police react if their two vampire experts got mind-fucked by their leopard and lost hours while they're supposed to be crime-busting?
I didn't mean to make us lose hours, Nathaniel said.
I know, but when the metaphysics first come online like this, there's always a learning curve. I don't want that curve to be when the police or Edward needs me most, needs us most.
I thought I knew exactly what had happened and what needed to happen. I felt so certain that I should stay with you and Damien, that you'd need me there. He'd need me there. Am I wrong? Am I just wanting our triumvirate to work that way?
What way? I asked.
So that I'm essential, and that the three of us being together does raise power and strength for all of us.
You're essential to me, I said, smiling and rubbing my hand up and down his thigh. He smiled and patted my hand where I touched him, but the smile didn't reach his eyes. They stayed serious and unhappy.
Let's talk to Jean-Claude, Damien said.
Why?
I asked. He knows more about controlling a triumvirate than we do. If anyone will know the answer to our questions, it's him.
I couldn't think of a better idea. I thought Damien would insist on getting clothes, but he didn't. He seemed just fine with tightening the towel around his waist and padding barefoot up the hall to Jean-Claude's room. Nathaniel would have been fine with it, but it wasn't like Damien at all. Nathaniel gave me a sad look and mouthed,
I'm sorry.
I shrugged, because maybe it was temporary. Damien looked back at us. His longer legs had taken him effortlessly ahead of us down the hallway. He flashed a grin so big it showed off the dainty points of his fangs. I could count on one hand the number of times that he had done that when he was in his right mind.
Crap.
Then he waited for us to catch up with him, and he took Nathaniel's hand in his, and we went hand in hand down the corridor. He started humming under his breath. I wasn't sure I'd ever seen him so relaxed and happy before. Nathaniel and I exchanged a look.
Don't be gloomy, Damien said to us both. I remember now what else I was thinking. That I wanted to be happy.
He swung Nathaniel's hand in his as if he were about to start skipping down the hallway.
I am happy. I feel happy, just happy with no guilt, no fear. We'll go to Ireland and it will all be right. Now that the human police know about her and the rest of us, then doesn't she fall under human law just like the little people who deal with the human authorities?
Yes, it should work that way, I said.
Then she's holding people against their will, and that's illegal, right?
Yes, I said, studying his happy face.
Then the police will help us free the people I left behind.
Theoretically, I said. He shook his head, and his hair was still so wet it clung to his neck and shoulders rather than moving with the gesture.
Or maybe just telling the Rowan that she who made us has lost control of the city and can't stop an invasion of foreign vampires will be enough.
Enough for what?
Nathaniel asked.
Only fear of her power and obedience to their ruler keep the seal folk from fighting against their enslavement.
You think once you tell them she's losing power, that will change, I said. The happiness in his eyes changed to something closer to rage. It flashed in green fire for a moment deep in his eyes, and then he was smiling again.
Yes. Yes, they will rise up if they think they can win.
You seem very certain, I said. He swung Nathaniel's hand again.
I feel very certain of a lot of things today. I didn't when I first woke up for the night. I didn't when you came to talk to me, but somewhere in all the talking, I just started feeling better and better. I think it's seeing the two of you.
He actually raised Nathaniel's hand as if he meant to kiss it, then stopped himself with a bemused smile on his face.
This isn't like me at all, is it?
Nope, I said.
No,
Nathaniel said. He looked lost for a moment, and then laid his lips gently to the back of the other man's hand. He rose back up and started walking down the hallway with us, still hand in hand.
I don't care. I feel hopeful for the first time in centuries. We can do this.
Do what? I asked.
Stop the vampires in Dublin and rescue everyone that I left behind.
He sounded so certain. Nathaniel looked at me, and I gave a small head shake. We'd let Damien have his moment. Who were we to rain on someone's moment of unadulterated happiness, hope, and certainty of victory? Moments like that were too rare to spoil. Usually they came with good antidepressants or alcohol, that rush after great sex, or the first blush of being in love when all things seem possible,
And apparently, vampire mind tricks. Who knew?
Chapter 23. Damien lounged in the second big chair by the electric fire in Jean-Claude's room. He was still smiling, happy, and relaxed. He sat in the chair wearing nothing but the towel, and even his mannerisms were more like Nathaniel's, or maybe Jason's, or even Jean-Claude if he was trying for nonchalant. Either this was a part of Damien that I'd never seen, or he was being seriously impacted by whatever Nathaniel had done to him. Jean-Claude sat in the other big chair across from him and asked,
"Is this a problem or a desired result, ma petite, mon menu?"
Nathaniel and I exchanged a look. He gave a small shrug. I answered, "Sort of both."
"Explain, please," he said.
Damien was wishing that Anita and I would desire him the way we desire Micah.
"Not as you desire me?"
Jean-Claude asked. I don't know what Nathaniel would have said because Damien said,
"I could never be you, Jean-Claude. No one is you."
Jean-Claude gave a small bow that seemed to involve just his neck and barely his shoulders. He made it look utterly graceful. I'd have looked like I was having a spasm in my neck.
"A pretty compliment from a pretty man."
I waited for Damien to get stiff and vaguely offended, but he laughed, damn near giggled, and did a bow from his waist while sitting down. And damn me if it wasn't graceful and very sexy. That might have been helped along by the fact that he let go of his towel to sweep his hand out and down, as if he were holding a hat to touch to his chest. So the towel slid into his lap, leaving the tops of his hips bare. The towel covered the tops of his thighs and the critical area of his lap, but not much else as he settled back into the chair.
"You have never taken a compliment of that nature from me with such grace, Damien,"
Jean-Claude said. The other vampire smiled.
"I am sorry for that, Jean-Claude. Truly.
You are comfortable with me saying you are pretty. Attractive, even.
You are one of the most beautiful people I have ever seen. Why would it not be a compliment coming from you? Most people live their whole lives waiting for someone like you to want them."
Jean-Claude narrowed his eyes and took in a long breath and let it out even slower.
"I do see your problem, my pretties."
"I did not mean to do this," Nathaniel said.
"It's like he's drunk," I said.
"Not drunk, ma petite, but freed of his usual doubts and personal issues. You have had our werewolf, Richard, almost this relaxed through my powers."
I thought about it and finally nodded. "I have, but it didn't last like this, or get stronger."
"Is he getting more at ease as time goes on?"
Nathaniel and I both nodded.
"That is interesting. I offered the ability to be at ease to Richard, and he agreed, but he could not let himself sink into it completely. He fought against it, because so much of what vexes him are lines that he does not wish to cross."
"Richard would so do you if he could get out of his own way,"
Damien said, and he laughed again.
"Bluntly put, but I believe he would have done so at least once by now if his issues were not entrenched so deeply in his psyche."
"What man doesn't like dishing it out?"
Damien said.
"It does seem intoxicated,"
Jean-Claude said, looking at us. "Why is it just Damien and not all three of us?" I asked.
"Nathaniel was in control. In effect, he played master, so he would not be intoxicated."
"Okay, why isn't it hitting me?"
"For the same reason that my powers do not intoxicate you."
"And that reason would be?" I asked.
"You are a master in your own right, as is Richard."
"So we're powerful enough to fight off the effects?" I asked.
"And I believe that neither of you wishes the effects to be permanent."
"You are too far away,"
Damien said, holding his hands out to the room.
"Whom are you addressing?"
Jean-Claude asked. Damien blinked and seemed to have to think harder than the question warranted.
"No offense, Jean-Claude, but I was addressing Anita or Nathaniel."
"Do you have a preference for which of them comes to hold your hand?"
Again, it seemed to require more thinking than it should have, but finally Damien said,
I don't think so, but I very much want to touch one of them."
"He was himself when we first got to the room after he woke up," I said.
Go hold his hand, ma petite. Let us see what happens.
I wasn't sure how I liked being an experiment, but I went because Damien's face was losing that happy glow. It was almost as if sadness were seeping in as the happiness faded. Surely there had to be more than two choices for him. What had Nathaniel's mindfuck done to Damien? I took his outstretched hand in mine. There was a hum of power as our fingers touched, and as more of our hands touched, the power rose until when we settled our palms against each other, it was like a jolt of electricity, except it didn't feel bad, it felt good. It sped my pulse until I had to fight not to pant, as if I'd been kissing someone too long and too hard and forgotten to take a deep enough breath.
Wow, I said. That's new.
That was amazing,
Damien said. His face was flushed as if he'd taken more blood from somewhere.
What were you thinking when you touched him, ma petite?
Nothing. I mean, that I didn't like being the experiment and that I didn't want him sad. I preferred him happy to sad or something like that.
And you, Damien, what were you thinking?
That I wanted the power to rise between us. I want what Nathaniel did to raise our power level.
Why?
Jean-Claude asked.
To have more power, of course.
He started rubbing his thumb along my knuckles as he said it.
Most vampires would mean that, but you do not. You said the expected. We want the truth.
He looked up at me, then at Nathaniel, who was still standing in front of the fireplace halfway between the two chairs. He held his hand out mutely for the other man. Nathaniel moved toward us, but Jean-Claude said,
Let him answer the question first, mon menu.
I squeezed Damien's hand and said, The truth, Damien. Just tell us. He swallowed hard enough that I could watch his throat work and see the pulse in the side of his neck. He was a vampire. They didn't always have a pulse, and they certainly didn't have such a rich, throbbing beat in the side of their necks.
If we truly raise power for each other, if Nathaniel has finally figured out how to get our triumvirate to work, then he will have to come with us to Ireland.
Why do you wish him to come?
Jean-Claude asked. Damien looked at the floor. As his happiness receded, so did the easy confidence. He kept one hand in mine, but the other pulled at the towel, trying to raise it higher up his body. The bold vampire who hadn't seemed to care if the towel stayed or fell was gone. This was the Damien I knew. Not shy, but not comfortable with being nude in front of other men, or certain people in general. He saw nudity the way I saw it, as a type of vulnerability.
I don't know,
he said at last, but he stared at the floor as he said it. I don't think any of us believed him. Jean-Claude motioned to Nathaniel and he came to us, laying his hand on Damien's bare shoulder. It wasn't a lover's touch, just a friend's hand on your shoulder when you were feeling sad. Damien flinched and started to pull away from that friendly touch, and then he stopped. He didn't just stop moving away, he stopped moving in that way that the older vampires could. His energy, the flow and hum of him, was almost not there at all. His hand wasn't warm and alive in mine anymore. It was like trying to hold hands with a mannequin or some kind of lifelike doll, but it wasn't alive. Whatever I was touching wasn't alive. I'd always hated it when Jean-Claude did it. I didn't like it any better now. Nathaniel shook him by the shoulder.
Don't do this to us, Damien. Don't go away like this.
Damien looked up then, his eyes almost flat, without the shine of living eyes. He'd said that she who made him had killed him in battle that night so long ago. In that moment, I understood what he meant. I tried to pull my hand out of his, but his fingers just stayed around me. It was like holding a corpse's hand. Either feel alive or let me go, Damien. I mean it.
I still have to do whatever you order me to do,
he said. It was like magic. His hand just felt alive again. Fine. Then why do you want Nathaniel to come with us to Ireland? I asked. He shook his head.
Say his name, ma petite. You must be specific or he has room to wiggle.
Damien, tell me why you want Nathaniel to come with us to Ireland. Tell me the true reason you want him to come with us. He shook his head.
I don't...
Damien,
Nathaniel said,
why do you want me to come with you to Ireland?
The vampire sighed, and again I was taken by the thick, beating pulse in the side of his neck. I wanted to lick the side of his neck and feel the beat of his life against my tongue.
Now I have to obey both of you.
He looked up at me and his green eyes were so alive and so angry. He turned the intensity of his gaze to Nathaniel.
I feel braver when you're with me. It takes everything for me to fight off the feeling of euphoria. I don't remember feeling this good, maybe ever.
He put his hand up to cover Nathaniel's where he was still touching the vampire's shoulder. The towel began to slide back down to pool in his lap.
I wanted someone to desire me, the way you and Anita seemed to want Micah, and you made that wish come true. You wanted me to want you the way I want Anita, and I can't seem to stop you from getting your wish either.
He turned and looked at me.
What did you wish for, Anita? What did you want from us? What did you want the three of us to be?
I thought about it for a minute. I've thought life would be easier for a while if you were a little more bisexual. Damien laughed then, and it was part amusement and part something that wasn't light or funny at all. It wasn't exactly bitterness, but if irony had a sound, that was it.
I don't think I'm bisexual, but I may be Nathaniel sexual.
He looked up at Nathaniel.
You wanted to be desired. I wanted you happy and not sad about Cardinal. Did I do a bad thing to us?
I do not know, but I know that with you and Anita beside me, I am brave enough to go back and face her.
We are not going to face her, Damien. We don't have to face her.
Maybe not to save the humans that are being killed, but once we have stopped the plague of vampires in Dublin, I want the human authorities to help us free the rest of the people she is holding captive, Anita.
He turned back to give me the full weight of that emerald gaze of his. But there was a purpose in them that I hadn't seen before. Can we do that without messing things up for you with the European vampires? I asked, looking at Jean-Claude.
One of the Harlequin told us that what's happening in Ireland may be because we killed Marmy Noir, and we aren't sending them back out to spy on all the other vampires, so we don't know what's happening,
Nathaniel said. I asked Jean-Claude. They said that some lesser vamps didn't wake up the night after we killed the Mother of All Darkness. Since no one here in St. Louis died, or for that matter, no one I know of in this country, I didn't think about Europe. Did you know?
That some lesser vampires would die and not reawaken at dusk if we killed her? That was possible.
You didn't tell me it was possible, I said, and felt that first flush of anger.
Ma petite, you know that when masters are injured, they reach out to their servants and the vampires that are blood-oathed to them for power to heal themselves and stay alive.
Yeah, so what?
What did you think the mother of all vampires would do when she felt herself fading, dying? Did you not think that she would reach out to her children and use them in an attempt to save herself?
No, I didn't, I said.
I kept nothing from you, ma petite. You simply failed to want to understand what might happen. You had the same knowledge of her and vampires as I did. If you did not know that slaying her would kill some of her lesser children, it is because you did not wish to know.
That's harsher than you usually talk to her,
Nathaniel said.
Perhaps I am angry with myself tonight? Perhaps seeing Demian holding your hand shows me yet again the mistakes I made with Richard in my attempt not to force myself on him.
Damien picked up Nathaniel's hand in his and brought our hands together in front of him, so that he could lay a soft kiss on first my hand, and then Nathaniel's.
No, Jean-Claude. Richard was brave when you met him. He knew who he was and what he wanted out of life. What bravery I had was used up centuries ago by her. I knew only I wished to be free of her, but beyond that I had lost everything I was or wanted to be. I was directionless. Richard was never that, from what I know of him. Nathaniel has given me back my bearings. He has given me back a star to hang in the sky, a fixed mark that will guide me home.
He kissed the back of Nathaniel's hand again.
He is my star.
And what is Anita to you, Demian?
Jean-Claude asked.
She is my master. She is wolf-kissed, beloved by the eagles.
Very poetic, he said.
It sounds pretty, I said, but its meaning isn't. Damien looked up at me.
It is the highest compliment for a warrior among my people.
And an insult, depending on how it was used.
How do you know that, ma petite?
I'm not sure, but I know I'm right.
Is she right, Viking?
Jean-Claude asked.
We used to say of a great leader that the eagles must have cried out on the day he was born, for they knew he would feed them many corpses. The wolves must have howled with joy when you were born, because they knew you would feed them well.
So wolf-kissed and beloved by eagles is a way of saying that Anita is a great leader and kills a lot of people?
Nathaniel asked.
It is a great compliment, Damien said.
I smiled, almost laughed. I guess I do rack up the body count.
The vampires have given you two honor names, Anita. No other vampire hunter has ever been given two names by us.
I've been the executioner for a long time.
But your other nickname among us is fresher, ma petite.
Yeah, I said.
War, he said.
And Edward is death,
Nathaniel said.
You are traveling to Ireland with two of the horsemen of the apocalypse,
Jean-Claude said.
Kazim talked about the fact that there should be a plural for apocalypse because the Harlequin have stopped so many of them, I said.
To that I cannot speak, but I know that you are sharing more memories with Damien because you understood his compliments before he explained them.
We are a triumvirate, I said.
I think you are one, at long last in more than just name and metaphysics.
What if Nathaniel rolls us again? I asked.
I think now that he knows he can, he will work harder not to bespell you, won't you, mon minu?
I didn't mean to do it this time,
Damien said.
That's it. That's what you've done to me. You've bespelled me.
And he wasn't looking at me or Jean-Claude when he said it. Chapter 24. Nathaniel and I were in our bedroom packing when Bobby Lee knocked at the door and asked to come in. He came to stand in the center of the room and was uneasy. That was the only word I had for it. It wasn't like him. I turned and looked at him. What's wrong? Nathaniel turned with the neatly folded clothes in his hands. I heard him sniff the air, and I was betting Bobby Lee smelled like anxiety. It had a scent, or so I was told by all my were-animal friends.
I can't go with you to Ireland.
I'm sorry for that. Edward requested you specifically, I said.
None of the were-rats can go with you.
Excuse me. Repeat that, because I could not have heard you right. Bobby Lee sighed, then said,
Raphael says that you had an agreement that if you tested positive for rat lycanthropy, he would be your beast half.
Yeah, so what?
You just tested positive last week. You and he haven't had time to formalize it.
We'll worry about that when I come back from Ireland.
Bobby Lee shook his head. He took off his wire-frame glasses and rubbed the bridge of his nose like he was tired. His eyes without the glasses showed the tired more.
In an emergency, you reach out to anyone close to you, Anita. You've tied more animals to call to you accidentally than on purpose, right?
I guess. He put his glasses back on and looked at Nathaniel.
Help me out here.
Nathaniel shook his head.
I'm going with Anita to Ireland. You've just told us that some of our best people can't come with us. Since you're potentially endangering both of us, why should I want to help you?
There are good people for this job who aren't rats,
Bobby Lee said.
Like who? I asked.
Nikki, for one.
Nikki was going with us anyway. Name someone else.
Wait, Nathaniel said. Why can't the were-rats go with us?
Can we all agree that Anita has tied more of her animal halves to her through metaphysical emergencies than on purpose?
He asked. Nathaniel and I exchanged a look, and finally we both shrugged.
Sure, I concede that.
Okay, then. Raphael says that we can't travel with you just in case you accidentally turn to one of us. He is our king, and it's either him as your rat or no one.
I've been carrying hyena lycanthropy for months now, and I haven't accidentally made one of them my beastie. I'm even taking Socrates with me, and Narcissus is cool with it.
You've already made it clear to Narcissus that he has no chance to be your hyena half. You could do worse than Socrates.
I'll be sure and tell him you said that.
Anita, please, this is an order from my king. I can't disobey it or him.
He clenched his jaw and looked like he might even be grinding his teeth.
Fine. Besides Nikki, who else do you trust to replace you?
Kazim and Jake are going,
he said. That's a good start, I said.
You need guards who can double as food, and none of us qualifies since Raphael dictated that he's the only were-rat you feed on.
I'm aware of that, which is why Fortune and Echo are going, along with Magda and her master, Giacomo.
And you're taking Damien and Nathaniel, he said.
Yes, but we're not going as just food, Nathaniel said.
Bobby Lee looked surprised before he could stop himself. He went back to a neutral expression, but the damage was done.
I know you're one of Anita's fiancés.
Nathaniel's energy whispered across my skin like a warm wind. Bobby Lee must have felt it too, because he said,
I know you're one of Anita's fiancés, and that makes you more than just food.
The wind felt hotter, more summer than spring, as Nathaniel said,
I'm Anita's leopard to call and part of her triumvirate of power.
I know that, Bobby Lee said.
Do you?
Nathaniel said, and his power didn't just bleed over onto me and whisper sweet nothings to my inner leopard. It spilled out into the room in a way that I'd never felt his power do before. It was closer to how Richard's energy worked when he was upset. Bobby Lee's hands clenched. I watched the tension in his shoulders and arms as he fought to relax. Nathaniel's power swirled through the room deeper, warmer, hot, and aimed not at me but the were-rat. He wasn't attacking him, but he was letting him know to be careful. It was a type of metaphysical posturing, and totally not how Nathaniel usually acted around anyone, let alone Bobby Lee. The were-rat took a deep breath and let it out slow. He was still fighting the tension in his own body, because a display like what Nathaniel was doing could be a precursor to a fight. It was certainly a metaphysical slap in the face to a were-animal as dominant as Bobby Lee. I said, Nathaniel, I don't know what you're trying to prove, but—
No, Anita, he doesn't get to dismiss me like that.
Be careful, Nathaniel. You don't want a new power level to make you forget,
Bobby Lee said.
Forget what?
Nathaniel said, and his voice held a purring edge to it.
That I'm dominant to you, and I teach some of the fight classes you take.
Nathaniel's power flexed. That was the only word I had for the sensation of the heat expanding and contracting as if the energy were trying to wrap around us. I looked at my calm boy, the one who never made trouble like this. Don't do this, I said.
This is your last warning. I don't care if you are Anita's fiancé.
I don't want to fight Bobby Lee, but I'm beyond tired of everyone discounting me and Damien.
You don't want to fight, you could have fooled me,
Bobby Lee said. I'm going to have to second that, I said.
I've tried just being nice, but that doesn't get you respected by people like him.
People like me? What's that supposed to mean?
Bobby Lee asked.
The big athletic guys who have been big and athletic for most of their lives. The ones who played sports, natural athletes, military, police, all the guy guys. I can't win points with any of you for cooking, cleaning, because that's women's work.
I was staring at Nathaniel as if I'd never seen him before, and I hadn't seen this side of him. I knew that guy guys confused him and he'd never fit into their world, but this level of bitterness was a surprise to me.
You're a dancer. That's athletic,
Bobby Lee said.
But it's not football, is it?
Nathaniel shook his head, his power so thick in the room now it was hard to breathe past it. It wasn't calling my inner beasts like most of the were-animals did when they started doing shit like this. It was almost more like warm vampire power than were-animal energy. It was too warm, too alive to be vampire, but it just felt like power. The kind that vamps threw around to impress or attack each other, and to torment the lesser beings.
Back down, Nathaniel, I demanded.
Him first.
If you hadn't noticed, Bobby Lee is doing his best not to throw more energy into this little fire. His control is admirable, which is more than I can say for yours.
You heard him, Anita. He doesn't count our triumvirate as important.
Until right now, only Anita had gained power, and she's gotten the respect that deserved.
And now?
Nathaniel asked, his voice purring along my skin as if his breath had touched me for real. It made me shiver and have to catch my breath. It was something Jean-Claude would do, but not Nathaniel. What are you trying to prove, Nathaniel? I asked, rubbing my hands along my arms.
Now you're proving that the only reason you've been nice up to now is that you didn't have enough power to be mean,
Bobby Lee said. The power from Nathaniel faltered as if magic could trip over its own feet. The door opened without a knock. It was Damien.
What are you doing in here?
It was while Nathaniel and I looked at the door that Bobby Lee proved that he was as fast as Nikki had been in practice. He went from standing still to being up against Nathaniel with a naked blade against his neck. We all froze because any movement could make things worse, so best to think carefully before you act. Honestly, I froze because it was just so damned unexpected that I didn't know what to do. Bobby Lee wasn't a bad guy. He wasn't even one of the guards who were a pain in my ass. Until this moment, I'd have trusted him damn near implicitly. His voice came low and careful.
Power is like strength. It means nothing if you don't know what to do with it.
You've made your point, Bobby Lee, I said. Damien started walking farther into the room.
Have I made my point, Nathaniel?
Nathaniel spoke carefully with the blade against his neck.
Power's down.
You powered down because...